Welcome everyone to Parshas HaShavua. So this week's Parsha is Bahaloischo. And I want to just focus on one idea, one part of the Parsha. And it's at the beginning. The Parsha has many things to it, including the inauguration of the Levim, and serving in the temple, and so on. But at the very beginning of the Parsha, we read about the mitzvah to kindle the menorah, to kindle the candelabra in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash each and every day. And the Torah writes, it says, Daber el Aaron, Hashem says, the Moshe Rabbeinu should speak to Aaron, who is the Kohen Gadol, and he should tell him, Bahaloischa es hanoyres, when you kindle the menorah, when you kindle the candles. And then it says an expression, el mul panei ha-menorah, towards the face of the menorah, your iru shivas hanoyres, the seven candles should be lit. What does it mean that you light the menorah el mul panei ha-menorah, facing towards the face of the menorah? So Rashi explains the following. Rashi says that the menorah had a stem, in other words, it had a middle stem, and out of that middle stem came six branches, right? Three on each side. When you lit the wick, says Rashi, on the six of the six stems that came out of the six lines that came out of the middle of the menorah, the wicks did not burn straight. The wicks were tilted towards the middle stem of the menorah. Right? So Rashi says, El mul neir ha'emtsoi. They had to face, the wicks had to face the middle candle. Why? Why? Says Rashi v'lama, why? Kadei shelo yomru. So people shouldn't say la'oira hu tzarich, that Hashem needs the light of the menorah. Hashem doesn't need the light of the menorah. We need the light of the menorah, and the kedusha, the holiness of the menorah, was very, very important and very powerful. But if you want to light up a room, for example, you want to have the candles as wide as possible. But this was tilted inwards, so that it obviously wasn't there to light up the Mishkan, to light up the Beis HaMikdash. So that's what Rashi says, famous Rashi. The problem is that the Mefarshim asked the question, what does it mean then, your Iru Shivas HaNeiros? If we're talking about tilting the candles, so the candles were only tilted, the wicks were only tilted on six of the stems of the menorah. Because Rashi explains the whole idea was to tilt the three on each side towards the middle. So why then does it say your iru shivas haneiros, that seven candles shall burn in this way? Really, it's only about the six. And there are many different answers. The Kli Yochar talks about it, others, and so on. But I want to share with you an idea coming from a sefer that I've used before, coming from a sefer called Sore Alofim. And Sore Alofim gives the following explanation. Bear with me, because it's a bit of a journey. He says the following. He does the name of his father-in-law, and he says the following. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that Rav Huna taught us that Harogil B'neir, someone who kindles the lights, the simple pshat is the kindles lights of Shabbos or Chanukah, and he's very accustomed to attach himself with that mitzvah, Havilei Bonim Talmidei Chachamim, he will have children who are Torah scholars. So why specifically this mitzvah of candling the menorah? And also, what does it mean, harogil menorah, someone who's accustomed to do this mitzvah? What does that mean? So he brings a very fascinating Gemara from the Talmud Yerushalmi. Talmud Yerushalmi talks about the very famous person called Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya was originally a Tana, one of the great Tanaim. He was the teacher of Rabbi Meir. And then he went off the derech, he became a heretic. And since then, he's referred to in the Gemara as Acher. So when we see in the Gemara Elisha ben Avuya, that's before he became a problem. Afterwards, he was a very, very great Torah scholar. Afterwards, he's not called that because he was unrecognizable. So he's called Acher, means someone else, but it's the same person. And the Gemara tells a story about how this all happened. He was undoubtedly a very great Torah scholar. In fact, he taught Rabbi Meir, just as a side tangent, he taught Rabbi Meir even after he became a heretic. And the Gemara says, how can you do that? You're not supposed to learn from someone who is a heretic. So he says Rabbi Meir had a special gift that he knew how to sift. So he could filter. He could take the good parts and leave the bad parts. Okay. But it says that Elisha himself told Reb Meir the following story. And he said, when I was born to a prominent person in Yerushalayim. And the day that was the day of my bris, my father called all the important people in Yerushalayim, and he put them in one room. And he also told two great sages, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, and they sat in a different room. In the main room with all the guests, they were eating and drinking and having a good time. So Rabbi Eliezer in the other room said to Rabbi Yeshua, he said, you know, they're all talking, they're all dancing and eating, having a great time, but let's do something useful. So they started to learn. They started to involve themselves and engage very deeply in Torah and in Nevi'im and in Ksuvim. And they were just amazingly immersed with tremendous Kedusha in the learning of Torah, to the point where fire came down from heaven and surrounded the house. So the father of Elisha ben Avuya got really scared, and he said to him, Rabbi, my dear teachers, did you come here to burn my house down? So they said to him, no, chas v'shalom, of course not. Just we're sitting and learning Torah, and we're getting immersed in the Torah, and this is the holiness coming from the Torah, because we've reached the point that it's as if we are actually standing at Har Sinai. So he said to them, the father of Rabbi Elisha ben Avuya says, wow, my teachers, if that's the power of Torah, he says, if this son that I'm about to circumcise will be sustained and he will live and he'll be healthy, I will give him over to study of Torah. And then the Gemara ends, he says, because he didn't have the right intention, because he didn't have the Shem Shamayim, that's why it didn't last. And Elisha ben Avuya, although Yitaka became a very, very big Torah scholar, but at the end of the day, he ended up going off because his father didn't mean L'shem Shemayim. And the Mefarshim asked a very important question. What do you mean he didn't mean L'shem Shemayim? What did he sin? He gave his son over to the Torah. He dedicated his son to learning Torah. And even if it wasn't 100% sincere, it was a bit ulterior motive. But it doesn't matter. We know that with regard to Torah, Chazal tell us that a person should always learn Shaloi Lishma. A person should always learn not for the sake of Torah, even if it's not 100% idealistic, because from Lo Lishma, he'll come Lishma, he'll eventually arrive at that sincerity. But even if you start learning like a child learns because he's going to get rewarded, or whatever the case is, it doesn't matter. So what was Acher's father's sin that he dedicated his son to Torah, even if it wasn't 100% clean, but it's still a great thing? So he answers an amazing thing. Let's examine the story. It appears that his father himself, Rabbi Elisha ben Avuya's father, Acher's father, was not such a big Talmud Chacham. When he saw the greatness of Torah, he saw the Kedusha, he saw the fire come down from heaven, what he should have done, he should have said, I'm dedicating myself to the Torah. But he didn't do that. He wasn't prepared to dedicate himself to the Torah. He was prepared to dedicate his son to the Torah. He said, I want my son to learn Torah if this is the power of Torah. But he wasn't prepared to dedicate himself. He didn't want to put in the effort and invest the effort to start learning, to start going to shiurim, to start really becoming an example of someone that learns Torah. So what happened? What happened is that his son didn't last. He dedicated his son to learn Torah, but it didn't last. It didn't have an effect. It wasn't sustained. Why wasn't it sustained? I'm sorry for that. Why wasn't it sustained? Because this is such an important lesson in chinuch. If parents want their children to go in a certain way, they have to show an example. A very simple cliche, but a very powerful one. And therefore, although he told these two great Tanoim that he's going to dedicate his son to learning Torah, it didn't really last. He learned Torah. He became a Talmud Chacham, but it didn't last. He became a heretic eventually. Why? Because he should have said, I'm going to dedicate myself to learning Torah. And then he would have instilled in his son the true value of learning Torah. I once heard a story. There was a great chassid. His name was Rabbi Chanan Marozov. And he lived in Russia, and he was looking for a melamed. He was looking for a teacher to teach his children. And someone came and was a candidate, and he wanted the job. So Rabbi Chanan Marozov said to him, are you really a Yirei Shamayim, or you're a God-fearing Jew? He said, to be honest with you, I'm not such a God-fearing Jew, but I will definitely influence, I'll inspire your children to be God-fearing. So he said, no, I can't give you the job, because what you're going to do is If you're not so God-fearing, but you can inspire my children to be God-fearing, you won't inspire them to be God-fearing. You'll inspire them to inspire others, maybe. But they'll do what you do. So therefore, this is the pshat that Rabbi Elisha ben Avoya's father didn't mean l'shem shamayim, because he should have said, I'm going to dedicate myself. I'll put in the effort. I'll be a living example of learning Torah. Now we know, coming back to the menorah. The menorah says in many, many sfarim, that the menorah was seven branches, seven flames. Each flame represented a neshama. Represented a neshama. And when Aaron HaKohen, because it says in the Pasuk, Neir Hashem Nishmas Adam, when Aaron HaKohen lit the menorah, he was inspiring, he was igniting the neshamas of Eden. So if you look at the menorah, there's the middle stem, that's the menorah itself. The middle stem is lighting, and the Chazal tell us what used to happen was that middle stem was the one to be lit first, and from that middle stem, all the other candles were lit, symbolic of someone who is lighting the candles, who is inspiring others. So the middle stem was like the parent stem, the main stem, the main candle, and that was the one to light the other candles, meaning that's the one to inspire other neshamas. Says the Pasuk, when it talks about tilting the candles towards the middle, says the Pasuk, Yo'iru shivas haneiros. Not the six candles will burn, the seven candles will burn. In other words, if the middle candle wants to inspire the other candles, the middle candle has to be inspired as well. If the middle candle wants to inspire the other neshamas to learn, to keep mitzvahs, to be engaged in Yiddishkeit, the middle, the parent candle, has to be the same. That's why the Pasuk, although it's talking about tilting the other candles towards the middle, and it's talking about how the candles burn. And we ask the Kasha, how come it doesn't say that the six candles will burn in that way? It talks about the burning of the seven candles. That's the pshat. Because in order for the six candles to be inspired, in order for the six candles to burn in whatever way it's going to burn, all seven candles have to burn. The middle stem has to burn in exactly the same way. This is for teachers, this is for parents, this is for all people who have a circle of influence. If you want to inspire other people, we have to inspire ourselves. Everyone has the power to inspire others, but you certainly have to make sure that what you're inspiring them in is something that you're living yourself, and only then it's effective. Just to add one more verse on the parasha, a similar thing. We talked about that the candles are the neshamas. So it's brought down in Kabbalah that the reason that there's seven candles is because there's seven types of personalities, like chesed, gevura, tiferes, and so on. Every person is different. And we know that although we all have common values and common halachas and a common Torah we subscribe to, nevertheless, we know that you have to, each person is okay to nurture and emphasize the path that he has or she has. Some people, their emphasis in Torah mitzvahs is chesed. They do a lot of kindness. They give a lot of tzedakah. That's their field. Other people, there's gvura, it's more about self-control, discipline. Whatever the case is, others is Torah. Everyone has the area of emphasis. Everyone has the mitzvahs that they sort of connect to in a more deeper way. But so the Torah says, that's fine. Aaron HaKohen will light all seven candles because all different neshamas, they are different. Each one has a unique contribution to make. And that's great and that's beautiful. And all need to be uplifted and inspired. However, when does that work? Only, because what's the menorah? The next pasuk in the menorah tells us that true, it's taka true, that there were seven candles, but the Torah says Zeh Maisa Menorah. The design of the menorah was Miksha Achas. It all came from one piece of gold, and it all connected to the stem and to the base. In other words, the design of the menorah was very complicated. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't even know how to do it. Hashem wanted him to have one piece of gold, not to have different pieces that you connect to each other. One piece of gold, and to mold it in such a way that you have this beautiful menorah with seven branches. Why? Because when can a person follow their unique path? That's only if they subscribe and surrender to the same values everyone else surrenders to. In other words, we can't make up our own Yiddishkeit. We have one Torah, one Shulchan Aruch, we have one guiding light that tells us how we have to serve Hashem. We all have to light Shabbos candles. We all have to put on tefillin. We all have to learn Torah. We all have to do all the mitzvahs. The difference is that we have different areas of emphasis. When is that a good thing, different areas of emphasis? If we don't only subscribe to that area of emphasis, but we all subscribe to everything. We're part of one piece, and we're all connected to the same foundation, the same amunah, the same surrender to halacha, to Torah, to mitzvahs. Then the individual and unique contribution actually works. That's the idea behind Shiva Neres, the seven candles, but they come from one piece of gold and have one stem and have one basis and one foundation that keeps them alight and keeps them inspired. So that's just a little bit of a vart on this week's parsha. Everyone should have a great day, a great week, and ultimately a good Shabbos. All the best.